Thank you, Dave. Good morning. Woo! Am I louder this morning than normal? All right. Okay. Just waking everybody up. That's a new way to do it. I need to do that in the middle of the sermon, right? Not at the beginning. I need to wake everybody up. So, good to see you. As I hope that you can see on the screen, looks can be deceiving. This appears to be quite the rock formation. But if we just advance one slide, we find out that it's not quite the rock formation it appeared to be. Looks can be deceiving. Things are not always what they appear to be. We're going to be looking at some looks this morning as we consider together another one another. I'm going to ask you to turn to the book of Romans, the 15th chapter. We've been looking on some Sunday mornings at this theme of one anothering, of the New Testament letters and the commands that we find there regarding our interaction with each other. And of course, this goes far beyond what we might strictly call the one anothers that we're looking at this morning, receiving one another. We have so much about interrelationships among Christians that we find in the New Testament letters, as well as other parts of the New Testament, and even in the Old Testament as well. But we're zeroing in on some of these one anothers as our theme for 2017. And so this morning we're going to be considering, again, Romans 15:7. For the sake of context, we'll read beginning with verse 1. Romans 15 and verse 1. We then, who were strong, ought to bear with the scruples of the weak and not to please ourselves. Let each of us please his neighbor for his good, leading to edification. For even Christ did not please himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of those who reproached you fell on me. For whatever things were written before were written for our learning, that we through the patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. Now may the God of patience and comfort grant you to be like-minded toward one another according to Christ Jesus, that you may with one mind and one mouth glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, receive one another, just as Christ also received us to the glory of God. Receiving one another. This morning we'd like to take three looks at receiving one another. Here's the first look. When we think about receiving one another, the first look is this. Receiving one another is harder than it looks. Some things we look at, I could do that. How many here can ride a unicycle? Nobody. See? Okay. How many of you have tried to ride a unicycle? Okay, a few. You know, some of us probably, I've tried, but I didn't get far at all. I didn't get anywhere. I guess that's not far. But, you know, some of us would look and say, that doesn't look that hard. I mean, I can ride a bicycle, so it's probably not that big a deal. You might have thought that before, but if you have tried, the few of us who have tried to get on a unicycle and actually ride it, is harder than it looks. And of course, there are a lot of things in life that are harder than they look. So we're gonna start out with the first phrase of our text verse. Therefore, receive one another. So I think that this is one of those verses that we could very quickly read over, and probably all of us have read it at one point or another, or maybe we have, maybe you haven't, but you just read it, so I know you read it at least once, and we just read through it, yeah, I got that. Okay, receive one another. Hey, we're good, let's go on to something else. But I think that as we begin to look more at what we're finding here, that we realize, hey, this is a little harder than it looks. So the first question I'll just ask us to kind of help us to see more of what this means to receive one another. The question, do we understand who we are to receive? Now, we've been looking this year at the one another. So if you've been with us, you know that we've kind of mentioned this a number of times. And the one anothers here are believers. He is speaking to those who have trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. And he is speaking to them regarding their and our interaction with others who know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. And so if you come here this morning and you've never heard the gospel, I'll give it to you very quickly. If you come here this morning and you heard the gospel way before I was even born, Barbara was up here. She's celebrating 87 years of age. She's got the advantage on most of us in hearing the gospel message that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and he was buried and rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and he was seen. And we're not going to go into a lot of detail about that, but the important thing to know, the important things that we're going to draw out, first of all, Christ died for our sins. I mean, there's an issue there, our sin between us and God, separating us from our Creator, affecting us in time and in eternity. But Christ died for our sins. He died to take the punishment for our sins. The Lord Jesus, the perfect human being, God in the flesh, came and he took our place, and he was our substitute, and he died for us, and he was placed in the grave, and just as he had prophesied, 3 days later, he came out of the grave living forever. And that was God's stamp of approval that what the Lord Jesus did on our behalf was acceptable to God. In fact, we read that it's the only acceptable sacrifice. There's nothing we can do. There's nothing we can change about ourselves to make us acceptable to God. There's only one sacrifice that God accepts, and that's the sacrifice of His Son, the Lord Jesus. And if we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, we trust Him as our Savior, we receive Him as the one who did die for us and rose again, then the Bible says that we are saved, we are forgiven, we are made new creations, we are declared holy and right before God, we are brought into a relationship with God, put into the family of God, born into the family of God, adopted into the family of God. There's so much more than I've said. But believing on the Lord Jesus, realizing I'm a sinner, a hopeless sinner, on my way to hell, and believing on the Lord Jesus as my Savior, not only saves me from hell, praise God it does that, and guarantees me heaven, but it also changes my life now. And it changes the way that I interact with other people, or it should change that. It changes my ability to interact with others. So we find that we're to receive fellow believers, these one another's, and even those who differ from us as believers. That's what we're going to see is going to be the emphasis. You know, if you're here this morning and you're not a believer in the Lord Jesus, we don't want to insinuate in any way that we don't receive you. We do receive you. We welcome you. We're thankful for you being here. We are grateful. We treat you as honored guests this morning. And we appreciate you being here with us. But we're talking about something deeper than just receiving someone into a building or into a room. And that's what we want to look at. Now, as we think about this verse, we're reminded of something that's very important, actually essential in interpreting the Bible. And I would encourage you in this, whether you're studying the Bible to preach a sermon or for a Bible study, or you're just reading the Bible devotionally. One thing that's very important is what we know is context. That's what's around this verse. So we can go in. I was talking to a fellow the other day who is following a false religion, and he was pulling out all kind of verses out of the Bible, but they weren't in context. You can make the Bible say anything you want to if you just want to pull a verse here and there or even a part of a verse. So as we look at this verse, just one little verse we're looking at, but we look at the bigger context. We could go and look at the context of the whole book of Romans, chapters 1 through 11, a doctrinal treatise, probably incomparable. And there we find what the gospel is and who we are and who the Lord Jesus is and what God has done. And some of that we just talked about very briefly. But we get to chapter 12 and through 16, we have the practical outworking of what God has worked into us when we believe on the Lord Jesus and trust Him as our Savior. And in chapter 14, What he is addressing here is what we sometimes call Christian liberties. Some folks call them gray areas. Now, if you're one of those people who only see black and white, that just makes your flesh cringe or crawl or something when you hear that. But we find here in chapter 14 that there are those who are called strong and those who are called weak. And it's not that they're strong and weak physically or even necessarily spiritually, but they're strong or weak in regards to this area that there are certain things that God has not said this is right and this is wrong. There are certain areas where we have liberty as believers based on our conviction and based on our circumstances, etc. So when we come to that, we find that there are strong and weak. So as he discusses this in chapter 14 and goes on into chapter 15, we come up to verse 7 of chapter 15 and we have that word therefore. So he's looking back at what he's just said. Based on the fact that there are these areas of liberties and based on the fact that because of these we have differences and because we have differences, sometimes there's conflict and sometimes there's a resistance to one another. Therefore, receive one another. Receive one another. Now, it's easier to receive someone who's like me. If I can find a group of people who are just like me and they think like me and they act like me, then that's a lot easier to kind of receive them. But Paul is saying by the Spirit of God, there are believers, they have trusted the Lord Jesus as Savior, but they're not like you in certain ways. Now, they are like you in certain ways. They're born again. They know the Lord Jesus as their Savior. But there are certain ways that they are not like you. They differ from you. And it may be in this area of Christian liberties. And they may feel comfortable before the Lord doing something, and you do not feel comfortable before the Lord doing that. And so what we tend to do is judge one another and also avoid one another or even reject one another. And Paul's saying that's not what you're to do as a believer. But you know, it's not only what comes before, but it may be in your Bible, as it is in mine, that verse 7 actually starts a new section, a new paragraph, a new heading. The point is, he's not only looking back, he's looking forward to what's coming afterward. And if you continue to read, and we didn't this morning, but if you continue to read, and notice there in verse 8, now I say that Jesus Christ has become a servant to the circumcision for the truth of God. The circumcision, the Jewish people. And as he goes on, you notice there in verse 9, he says, and that the Gentiles might glorify God for His mercy. So now he's talking about two other groups of people. He had the strong and the weak in regard to Christian liberties. Now he's got the Jews and the Gentiles. This is even a bigger divide. This is a cultural divide, which was very strong at that time. The Jewish people had been separated from the Gentile, the non-Jews, for years, for centuries. And now they find that as believers in the Lord Jesus that they're brought together, but there's still a lot of that natural resistance. You know, all of us have within us, and we don't like to admit it, but, you know, there are people that we just by nature, groups of people that we have a problem with. Maybe it's the way we were raised. Maybe it's something that somebody in that group did to us or did to somebody we loved, and we have an issue. Maybe it's something we know from history. But you know, he said, there's two groups, and I want you, even those who are different from you, I want you to receive one another. Now, he's not telling the strong, I want you to receive the weak, without telling the weak, I want you to receive the strong. He's not telling the Gentile believers, I want you to receive the Jewish believers, while not telling the Jewish believers, I want you to receive the Gentile believers. No, all believers. So it's the context of differences. Differences. That's something that can be very difficult for us, whether those differences are, as I've said, in convictions or opinions, or whether those differences are in background or culture. but we're to receive one another. Some people here this morning are wearing a tie. Some people here this morning are not wearing a tie. Some women here this morning are wearing a dress or a skirt. Other women are wearing pants. You know, we're different in that. We're different in what we wore this morning. Maybe we wore what we wore just because I feel like wearing that is the only thing clean we got. I don't know. It might depend for you. but you know, we have differences. And you know what? There are people who are divided by those kind of differences. You know, there are people, true believers in the Lord Jesus, and they will never be late to a meeting because if they're less than 15 minutes early, in their mind, they're late. And they'll never be late. But you know, there are other believers, and they'll be late every meeting. And you know what? That can be an area of contention. But you know what Paul says by the Spirit of God? We're to receive one another. We're to receive one another. You know, there are Republicans who are, or I should say, there are believers who are Republicans, and there are believers who are Democrats, and there are believers who are independents. And we can get all riled up at each other, but you know, we're to receive one another. There are those who prefer hymns. In fact, feel like we should only sing hymns. And there are those who prefer choruses and more contemporary songs, and some that even feel we should only sing those. And there are many people in between, but we're all to receive one another. We have people from different cultural backgrounds that meet together in this local assembly. And sometimes those cultural backgrounds can cause us to have different views on things, but we're all to receive one another. We have couples here who have had 10 children, and we have couples here who have never had any children, and a lot in between, and we're to receive one another. We have those who were extroverts and those who were introverts and those who kind of merge somewhere in between those two extremes, and we're to receive one another. There are those who were older and there are those who were younger, and we're to receive one another. There are those who eat avocado on whole wheat toast for breakfast, and there are those who eat gravy on biscuits for breakfast, and that can cause a problem if you go out or decide where you're going to go eat breakfast, right? But we're to receive one another. Receive one another. And we could go on, and I won't belabor that point. Maybe you feel like I've already belabored it, but we won't go on any further. But the point is, we're to receive those who are believers in the Lord Jesus and differ from us in whatever way. Some differences, not a big deal, we don't think. Other differences is a big deal. That's just the reality. Second question, do we understand what it means to receive? To receive. The thought here in the word is to take to one's self. To take to one's self. I was thinking about having someone come today and bring a football. And I was going to get him to come up and throw me a pass, but I probably would have dropped the pass. I remember years ago, I was a teenager, and I went with our youth group up to West Virginia to a retreat. I'll never forget it. One of the youth leaders were playing football, and one of the youth leaders threw a pass to me, and I was like right at the goal line, right here in the numbers, as they say, and I dropped the pass. And I'll never forget, he said, I'm sorry. And I started to say, no, that was on me. He said, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to hit you in the hands. Now, I still remember that. You know, like 40 years later, man. So anyway, but I was thinking about a receiver in football. You know, he's going for the pass, and he may have to stretch way out. I can catch an imaginary football. And he catches it, and he receives it. And what does he do? He pulls it to himself. You watch him. That's what they do. If the ball's right here, it's already here, then they're going to hold on to that football. They're going to grab that thing and pull it to themselves. And I think that's a good picture of what's going on when we're receiving one another. We won't go through all the passages, but just some of the uses in the New Testament. There's one where Peter takes the Lord Jesus aside, and it's the same word. He receives the Lord Jesus. Now, he took him aside to rebuke him, which was foolish. But the point is, he was taking him to himself. Another negative use of the word, but we still get the point. In the book of Acts, there are some unbelieving Jews, and they're following Paul around. Paul's going from city to city preaching the gospel, and they're following him around. Not like groupies wanting to hear him again. No, they're wanting to speak against his message. So they gathered, they received to themselves some rascal guys, some evil men to kind of stir up and start a riot. And that's exactly what they did. But they brought those men into their circle. They allowed them to come close. Also in the book of Acts, at the end of the book, Paul is on his way to Rome. He's a prisoner of the Roman Empire. He's going to go and present his case before Caesar. And they have a shipwreck, and that's an exciting passage there in Acts 27. Y'all are 26 and 27. Y'all ought to read that. And you come in there, and they land up like on this shore of this island, and the people don't know them. They're very different culture. Very different culture. But we read that they received Paul and the other people who were there on that ship. They received them. They took them in, even though they were different. Philemon, in the book of Philemon, Paul challenged him to receive Onesimus, that runaway slave who had hurt his master. But he said, receive him back now as a brother. Take to yourself, and we read in the commentaries and those who have studied the Greek that this word receive has a thought of it of warmth in a general way, of drawing close as in warmth, not a begrudging. You know, our second son, Jordan, we found out that we were going to have a daughter. We already had Josh and Jordan and Joseph, and then we're going to have a baby girl, and Jordan was at the age he didn't want a sister. He didn't want anything to do with girls. So he was, like, really upset. We found out he went and he sat in a corner there and put his, arms together. So she was born. He wouldn't have anything to do with her. We said, okay, we'll let it go. It was a couple weeks later. I don't know how old she was, a couple weeks old maybe. And we were over at some people's house, and I remember he said, okay, I'll hold her if you make me. He said, well, I'm going to make you hold her. They turned out to be good buddies after a while. But that's not what God is challenging us to do. Yeah, I know you can't stand that person, but, receive them anyway. That's not what he wants. He wants there to be a sense of warmth, not based on our feelings, but on the Holy Spirit. Allowing them to come. And as we see in some of the uses of that word, actually initiating. I noticed that with Peter when he took the Lord Jesus aside. He initiated that. Aquila and Priscilla in the book of Acts, they initiated going and receiving Apollos to come in with them. And as individual believers, we're to receive one another. And as a local church, as an assembly of believers, a gathering of believers, we're to receive one another, other believers, or those from the outside, we might say, when we say that, just because they're not part of our fellowship, and they come in to visit. I've been in fellowship at this local church for so many years. It's hard for me to know what it really feels like for somebody to walk through those doors. What do they sense? And I want to know that, and I ask people sometimes. What's the sense that you get? Some people come and they seem to just feel very received, and other people come and they don't seem to be, at least in their minds, they don't seem to feel received. But we're to receive them. We're to receive them. I was thinking about it, the song, and of course we sing it every Sunday. There's a welcome here. There's a Christian welcome here. But I wonder how many of us really mean that when we sing it, or any time. Are there conditions and restrictions beyond the gospel that we place on people? Now, I do understand some of you might be thinking, what about church discipline? Now we're moving to the inside. You see, because it's one thing for people to come in from the outside. We're to receive them. If they're believers in the Lord Jesus, we're to receive them as a believer. But you know what's sad for me to think? That there might be people sitting in this room this morning And as we do this message, they're sitting there thinking, I don't feel received here. I mean, I know nobody's ever told me I couldn't come, but, you know, I don't really feel like I connect here, like that people really have welcomed me and really have accepted me and brought me close. I don't feel like that. I hope that's not true of any, and I hope that if it is, it's not true of many, and it's sad, but it may be true, but that's why we're talking. That's why Paul presents it, because we are different, and we need to be challenged, and if we've been here for many years, we might not think about those. Now, I mentioned church discipline because some people might be thinking, well, yeah, you have to receive everybody. Is it just the gospel that makes that division? What about people who run a church discipline? As a local church, we do practice church discipline for those who are in fellowship. And we seek to do that in a restorative, loving way, because we find that in the New Testament. And the point being there that if you really look at all those verses, what do they say? Treat that person like an unbeliever. Why? Because they're acting like an unbeliever. They're living like an unbeliever. So in a sense, the dividing line is still the same. We're to receive, in this sense of receiving, we're to receive every believer. Now, if it's a believer who's not living like a believer, now again, that's why we do it as the local church. That's why it's not left up to me to say, well, that brother's not living like he ought to live. I'm going to have anything to do with him. You know, that because that gets back to my opinion, right, and what I think. But when we do it as a local church, then if there's a brother or sister who has gone that far, praise God, that's very unusual. But if it happens, then together we can look at that and say, yes. And we want that brother to come back. We want that sister to come back and to be received and a part of us really again. So we might stop and think, what about me? I'm not saying that you need to take every believer home and have a pajama party, sleep over with them, and say, hey, we're best friends forever. You know, I'm not saying that for everybody. That's not practical. That's not the point. But I think that as we look at this and we consider the context, I think that for most of us, by the Spirit of God, we can see and we can examine ourselves. Am I receiving? Am I welcoming? Or maybe I'm stuck at saying, well, they're not receiving me. Maybe I need to receive them. Maybe that's the point. Am I rejecting? Am I shunning? Am I avoiding? Am I neglecting? Am I ignoring? Sometimes we don't mean to not receive. Do we really understand what it means? Or rather, do we really understand into what we are receiving people? That's something else, believers. We're not receiving them into a social club. We're not receiving believers into a business or an institution or a secret society or an organization. No, we're receiving them into a family. Receiving them into a body. Romans 12:5. We're receiving them into a flock. We're receiving them into a living, functioning organism. We're receiving them to ourselves. We're receiving them to one another. And then finally, do we understand the grammar of receiving? I found this interesting because I looked and the verb receive here is in the middle voice. That means you do it to yourself. So we're receiving, and just by the very, very grammar, we're receiving to ourselves. And then the mood of the verb is imperative. It means it's a command. It's not a suggestion. It's not a good idea. It's not an option. No, it's a command from God. And the tense was very interesting too. It's present tense. It's not, yeah, I'm going to start doing that. Yeah, I'm going to get around to that. No, it's now. It's harder than it looks. But take comfort. Receiving every one another is too hard for us, but nothing is too hard for God. Jeremiah 32:17, we read, Ah, Lord God, behold, you have made the heavens and the earth by your great power and outstretched arm. There is nothing too hard for you. And you might say, I can't do it. And if you say, I can't do it, then maybe you're on the first step in the right direction. And the next step is, God can do it. You see, if you're a believer in the Lord Jesus, the Holy Spirit is living within you, and the Holy Spirit is there to enable you to do what you cannot do in your own strength. And that's the whole point, that it's not I, but Christ. Harder than it looks. Secondly, it's headier than it looks. You might think, what is he talking about, headier? There are several definitions to this word, and one of the definitions is this: something that is thrilling, that is stirring, that is stimulating. It's a motivational thing. Is anybody recognize what that is? Anybody recognize that? It's from Universal Studios in Florida, the theme park. It's Dr. Doom's Fear Fall. Anybody ridden on Dr. Doom's Fear Fall? Anybody? Just got a couple people, man. Okay, yeah, we got a hand back there in the back. Okay. We were down there as a family years ago. I won't tell you the whole boring story. But we're in the theme park, and Josh, he's like all into riding all this stuff. And I'm like, I'm not a daredevil. I'm not a risk taker. I don't do that kind of stuff. So he wants to ride this. So here I go, and we go in. I'm not doing this. I'll get you to the door here. Okay, so he goes in, and then I start thinking, man, this is terrible. My son wants to ride this thing, and it goes up to the top, you know, takes you to the top, and then boom, the bottom drops out. You just... you fall. That is not my idea of fun. Okay? I don't know why people want to do that. What stimulated me? What motivated me? What caused me to do that I didn't want to do? It was because my son wanted to do it. And my kids have gotten me to do all kind of things that I would have never done if they weren't my children. Oh yeah, I forgot to show the other picture there. Here we come. Coming down. All right, look at the example that Paul gives us here. Here's the little phrase that we're going to pull out of this or follow through. Therefore, receive one another. Notice the next phrase. Just as Christ also received us. Just as Christ also received us. That is why we are to receive one another. Christ has also received the one another's that we are to receive. But before that, Christ has received me. And when I look at the fact that the Lord Jesus received me into His family, that ought to motivate me to receive others. And you know what else He did? He received me again this morning. I'm not saying that I left the fellowship of Him, but I'm just saying, you know, I woke up this morning and He received me. He still loved me. And I did some stupid things yesterday. And I'll do some stupid things today. And he still receives me. And I look at Him receiving me. And again, I see the gospel being that distinguishing line. He's receiving me based on what He did. I didn't do anything good. He received me into His family because He died for my sins and rose again. And all I did was receive Him. That's all I did. That was a no-brainer. And He receives me. And He continues to receive me. He says, the one who comes to me, I will by no means cast out. We sing sometimes, just as I am. Without one plea. And He receives us. And that's not only why we're to receive one another, it's how we're to receive one another. Even though we are very, very different from the Lord Jesus, He still receives us. I was reading over in Titus chapter 3. For we ourselves also were once foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving various lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. And yet He received us. Not because we quit doing all those things. No, He said, come just as you are. And that's how we're to receive one another. Not based on the performance of one another. That's not how He received us, and that's not how He receives us. He receives us at the cost of His own life sacrifice. He receives us with the knowledge that we're going to fail Him again and again. He received us with the knowledge that we would disagree with each other. Very interesting, Romans 14 and verse 3. Let not him who eats despise him who does not eat, and let not him who does not eat judge him who eats, for God has received him. It's not based on whether they would eat meat sacrificed to idols or they wouldn't eat it. God received them based on the gospel. The Lord Jesus received us, knowing that before and after salvation, in many ways we are broken. In many ways we fail. We're self-centered. We're often hypocritical, sometimes prideful, occasionally narrow-minded. He received us with open arms, unconditional love. And do you realize if you trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, and you might say, I know I'm a Christian, but God, He won't have anything to do with me. I missed my quiet time this week, and I got mad at work, and I let out a few words that I shouldn't have said. And, you know, God's not receiving you based on your performance. He's receiving you based on His Son. And that in itself should make us say, Lord, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry that I lost it. I'm so sorry that I failed you. I'm so sorry. Lord, thank you for loving me. Thank you for receiving me. Not based on what I do. He receives us with compassionate mercy, with patience and joy. He receives us with an eye on what we will be one day. He receives us knowing our past, knowing our present, knowing our future. And He received us to Himself, to His heart. And we're to receive one another just as Christ also received us. And you might say, well, I'm not Jesus. I've heard people say that. Not about this situation, about other situations. You say something, here's what the Lord Jesus, I'm not Jesus. I can't do what Jesus wants to do. And I was thinking about that, and I thought about Galatians 2:20. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life that I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. It's not me anymore. It's Him living through me. He can do it. I can't do it. It's when I try to do it, that's when I have the problem. Meditating on Christ's reception of me should motivate me to imitate Him by receiving one another. So if I meditate, if I think about the Lord Jesus and what He has done and how He has received me, and then I think this, the Lord Jesus receives this brother, but I'm not receiving him. What does that say? Like, well, it's appropriate that the Lord Jesus would receive him, but I'm not receiving him. I'm not bringing her close. I mean, we think about that, and we think, that sounds terrible. That it's okay for Jesus, but not okay for me, because, sorry, Lord, my standard's a little higher than yours. We would never say that. Trust, we would never think that. Here's the third one. We've got to hustle on here. Receiving one another is higher than it looks. You know, I remember being a kid and looking up at the high dive and thinking, that's not that far. Then you get up on top, and you look down, and you say, oh, my goodness. Now I'm embarrassed. How am I going to get down from here? Okay, there's people lined up on the ladder. I got to go. Now this is not, you know, that's a little extreme for a high dive. But you know what? This idea of receiving one another is higher than it looks. You know, the down-to-earth effect of receiving one another is extremely valuable. But Paul goes on to declare that the effect of receiving one another soars much higher than what we may consider. Because what does the end of the verse say? To the glory of God. Therefore, receive one another just as Christ also received us to the glory of God. You see, God's glory is involved here. That's a serious business. This is as high as it gets. In our lives on this earth, there's nothing that we can do any higher than reflecting glory to God. That's the highest thing we can do. And we can do it in receiving one another. We have the privilege of displaying the glory of God, a picture of God. Christ received us to the glory of God. Ephesians 1:6, to the praise of the glory of His grace by which He made us accepted in the Beloved. And we are to receive one another to the glory of God. And when we receive one another, God is glorified, for one thing, because His purpose is displayed. That's God's doing. He is bringing us into a family. And He's bringing us together, and we wouldn't be together were it not for the Lord Jesus. And so we want to display that. And then also, we read in verses 5 and 6, being like-minded toward one another, according to Christ Jesus, that you may with one mind and one mouth glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. This morning as we met together to remember the Lord, one of the brothers, and he always does this, and I really thought about it even more this morning, and he said, let's sing this to the glory of God. And I couldn't help but think about this. Here we are together, gathered around the Lord Jesus, hopefully receiving each other and singing to the glory of God with one mind and one mouth. There's something there that says that if we are not receiving one another, then that some of the glory that should go to God is not being properly reflected to God. The highest goal for which we can aim is the glory of God. And you might say, I want to glorify God. Here's a simple way that we can do that. Receiving one another. We're gonna whip through. I just got a little summary here. It's also holier and happier than it looks. I want to finish with that. When we receive one another, we're doing holy business for God. This isn't some sideline. This isn't some, well, that's not important, like sharing the gospel or teaching a Sunday school class. Yes, those things are important. Yes, those things are holy. Yes, they're set apart. God sets this apart. He makes room in His Word to challenge us to receive one another, no matter how different we are, to truly receive one another to our hearts as He's received us. And also, when we receive one another, we're going to ultimately experience true and deep happiness from God because we're being obedient. He's come to give us joy that is full, abundant life. And we're going to find joy, not necessarily from that person, but we're going to find joy in being obedient to the Lord and knowing that He did it. It was His strength. So receive one another. Can I ask you this morning, what's God specifically calling that me is each one of us asking this question? What is God specifically calling me to do in response to this verse? And the answer cannot be, receive one another. Okay, we know that. But specifically, how is that going to apply for you? How are you going to live out this receiving other believers, every other believer? How are you going to do that? Maybe we need some changes in our thinking. I don't know. But here's a question we'll kind of close with. Three-part question. Will I listen to the Father commanding me? Again, this is a command. This is in the Word of God. Will I look to the Son encouraging me? He reminds me, I received you. And I'm not holding that over your head, but rather, I just want you to know and remember that. And I receive them too. And will I lean on the Holy Spirit enabling me? He's willing to do it. He's living within us. If you're a believer, He's living within you. If you're not a believer, you know, you're missing it. You're missing the joy of having the Lord Jesus as your Savior and God the Father as your Father and the Holy Spirit, God Himself, living within you to enable you to do all of this for God's glory. Will I do this to receive one another? Not for my benefit, not even primarily for their benefit, but for the glory of God. We're going to close in prayer. Brother David's going to play just a verse. Please, during that verse, please just think about it. Just look up here and answer these questions between you and God. Lord, thank You for our time together. What a blessing to look into Your Word. What a joy that you would care enough about us to talk to us and to tell us your heart. Thank you for receiving us. And we pray for any here this morning that have never believed on the Lord Jesus. They've never been saved. Father, might right where they sit at this moment, might they cry out for forgiveness and mercy based on the death and resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And Father, might we all be burdened to, in a more active, more proactive way, to receive one another to your glory. In the name of your Son, we pray. Amen.